This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with me, Roshan Kanesan, and Noel Lim in the studio this morning. In about 15 minutes, we've got the KLCI opening as well as market commentary from Kingsley Jones of Jevons Global. But in the meantime, let's talk about Sabah politics, because on Friday, the Kota Kinabalu High Court dismissed a judicial review application, which essentially set out to nullify the Sabah governor's consent to dissolve the state assembly at the end of July. The court basically ruled that the governor's action could not be challenged in court. And the application was brought on by former Chief Minister Tan Sri Musa Aman and 32 assemblymen after their attempt to wrest control of the state government was thwarted by the dissolution of the state assembly. Now, with this court decision, the Sabah state election will go on as announced by the Election Commission, with nomination day on September 12th and polling day on the 26th. For a reaction to the court decision and also views on the political issues on the ground, Keith Khan from BFM News speaks to Dato' Sri Yong Tek Lee, the president of Sabah Progressive Party. He was also the Sabah chief minister from 1996 to 1998 under the Barisan National Administration. Keith, over to you.
Dato' Sri, you disagree with the judicial commissioner's decision to throw out the 33 assemblymen's bid to challenge the governor's action in dissolving the state assembly. Why is that?
I would have no problem and no issue if, upon considering all the facts, that the court still dismissed the application for judicial review. But in this case, they didn't even allow round one. Round one is to at least allow the facts to be presented to the court and the points of law to be argued in court. That was not allowed. In other words, the actions of the governor are not challengeable in a court of law. This, to me, is dangerous.
Dangerous in what way is that?
Dangerous in the sense that the same power could be wrongly used. I will avoid the word abuse. I will use the word wrongly used in the sense that, for instance, with this judgment being effective now, what it means is in future, another act of the governor would also be similarly not justiciable, cannot be challenged in court. It could be like, say, what if the governor were to suddenly, without the advice of the chief minister, dismiss a cabinet minister? And that minister will want to challenge that in court. You see, that cannot be challenged. What if the TYT wanted to confer a datukship, an award, on a criminal, on a notorious criminal? You know, that kind of thing. Would that not be challengeable in court? It must be allowed to be argued in court. The facts must be presented so that the governor will know there is a restraint. He cannot just simply use his powers according to his own personal wishes. He will know that what he does as a governor behind the gates of Istana, that he has to justify the legality in the court of law, and he will have to subject himself to how he justifies his actions.
But Dato', the governor would have to act in accordance with the advice from the chief minister, and in this case, the chief minister at that time was Dato' Sri Shafi'i Abdal. Was he advised wrongly? Are you saying that?
I'm saying that we have not come to that stage. With the judgment last Friday, the issue of whether the advice was legal or not was not allowed to be argued. The 33 assemblymen were not even allowed to argue the case in court whether the dissolution, according to the advice of the chief minister, was valid or not. The ruling was non-justiciable, not allowed to be challenged.
Is there room for appeal?
They are appealing on the point of justiciability. Kids, put this in context. Whether the dissolution was valid or not has not yet been argued. Whether the advice from the sitting chief minister was valid or not in accordance with the constitution have not yet been argued. What has been argued now is whether the actions of the governor can be challenged in court. And the court says it cannot be challenged in the court.
So now 33 assemblymen brought this case to light, and this kind of implies that there's more than half that are no longer on Dato' Sri Shafi'i Abdal's side. How do you see this playing out in the upcoming state elections?
It shows two things. First, the political leadership of this current government is very weak. Number two, it shows that this government recently fell. Themselves consisted of a lot of people who won on other people's tickets and joined them. So it shows that this government was never a strong government in the first place.
Dato', let's talk about SAPP. In GE14, you guys contested in 5 state seats, and the performance wasn't really great. What do you see your chances are like now?
I think we contested 7. 2 were under other party symbol. We all lost. We knew that the chances are not good because there were 2 giants between Barisan Nasional and Pakatan Harapan. We will not seem to be a winnable alternative, but we take comfort in the fact that our issues have now become national issues, MH-63 and so on. So this time round, this is the first time I'm talking to the media on this. You are getting this the first, you know.
Thank you.
SABP is now aligned to Perikatan Nasional under the leadership of Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. So it is likely that we will be in the election, be contesting with Perikatan Nasional as the same bloc.
Cool. What's the reason for joining Perikatan Nasional? Because I think you guys pulled out of Barisan Nasional in 2008, right?
Yes. Okay, cut a long story short. We pulled out of Barisan Nasional. At that time, we said it was a window of opportunity for Sabah to achieve Sabah autonomy and Sabah rights. Because UMNO in 2008 was losing its dominance. When UMNO at that time needed Sabah and Sarawak to form the federal government. That was the first time in the history of Malaysia where Barisan Nasional, a national party, needed Sabah and Sarawak in order to form the federal government. The Prime Minister at the time was still reluctant to even take up the issue of MH-63 and so on. So we left Barisan Nasional. By now, MH-63 had become national mainstream. So we decided recently to align with Perikatan Nasional. First is because of the leadership shown by the new Prime Minister, Tan Sri Muhyiddin, being progressive and moderate, has managed the COVID-19 crisis very well. And then when he announced his cabinet, he specifically announced MH-63 as an objective of the new government. And he even allocated one minister from Sabah, Dr. Maximus Onkili. And he was given 6 months to work out the MH-63 compliance. On the wider issue, we are happy that the Perikatan government have made strong announcements of actions to be taken against illegal immigrants in Sabah. And at the same time, we see the Sabah government has to work with the federal government in order to revive the economy. So on this basis, we decided to align with Perikatan Nasional.
But of late, Bersatu has joined Muafakat Nasional, clearly very Malay-Muslim-centric. What does this mean for SAPP if you were to align with Perikatan Nasional and they were to go that way?
I see the Muafakat Nasional, these three main Malay parties, as a stabilizer for Malaysian politics. You stabilize the central government. The Perikatan Nasional itself, from what I see, is a more open, more progressive alliances of more variety, both from East and West Malaysia and from various races and religion. So we don't see a conflict. We are aligned to Perikatan Nasional. We also have our Gabungan Sabah. That is not a problem for us.
But Dato', what concerns me is the fact that, as you mentioned earlier as well, Sabah is a political landscape which doesn't see race and religion, whereas Muafakat Nasional is clearly aligned towards race and religion. Do you not see this as a conflict?
Every party have their own ideology. We don't see at the moment how the Muafakat Nasional been imposing their ideology into the Perikatan Nasional. In a way, it depends on how the three parties organize themselves in Muafakat. As far as we are concerned, our basis to be in Perikatan Nasional is the Prime Minister's leadership being seen to be open and progressive, the MH-63, economy and solution to the illegal immigrants problem in Sabah. That is our focus.
And that was Dato' Sri Yong Tek Lee, President of the Sabah Progressive Party, speaking with BFM News' Keith Calm, and quite a interesting conversation there between the two. Highlighting, I guess, one of the things that was highlighted there is, again, this the importance of the East Malaysia agenda, right? That's what something that that he highlighted. That's part why they are, I guess, supporting Perikatan Nasional, although this was brought up also during Pakatan Harapan's time. And also the allegiance or that they are officially supporting Perikatan Nasional, and that there are no concerns over the Muafakat Nasional element.
Yeah, he seems very confident that PN can deliver on Sabah's demands, or at least his demands about MA63 and really elevating the rights of the Sabah state.
I just like how he talked about how it's mainstream, right? This MA63 has become mainstream, but this was a conversation that was brought up over the last few years. So Why it's mainstream, that's a good question to ask as well. But when we take a look at the, the Bersatu and Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, we're running a poll on Twitter right now. Can Bersatu rebrand itself as a multiracial party? This is a story that came out over the weekend. And with about 330 votes in, 65% say no. We've got 4%, 4% saying yes. 6.5% not sure. And 25% say they don't care about this. A quarter of the results there. And this shows, I mean, that one of that element there is the Muwafaqat National. We were talking with Dr. Oisan earlier in the day about this and whether that plays into this, the Perikalan National narrative.
Yeah, I think it's really a tough call for Bersatu. I mean, despite Tan Sri Muhyiddin's good intentions to include other races, as we know, history it might be quite informative or quite instructive. On Jaffa, who is the founder of UMNO, he tried to include non-Malays in the party, but it wasn't successful. So, well, let's see if Muhyiddin this time round conditions are different and whether he will make any headway.
I mean, it will be very interesting and it will help to, I guess, build Bersatu's identity as a political party and not just the what was the not UMNO situation. But right now, we're going into a few messages and then when we come back, the KLCI opening as well as market commentary from Kingsley Jones of Jevons Global. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.